This morning, as we take a look at Genesis 6, we'll start with the fifth verse. This morning, folks, we know that, as we said a while ago with the pouring of the water and call to worship, that we're looking at a new beginning. It is a time that when people stop and they think about Lent, it is a meaning. I looked up the meaning of Lent, and it came from, I forget what word it came from, but it meant spring. It's the new beginning of life after winter and after fall, and life begins to show itself. And this is where the word Lent kind of came from, was thinking about the springtime. But I've always loved spring because it shows me, and folks, this is the wonderful thing about living in Tennessee, Mark, and you go see some of this, but the thing about Tennessee is, if you don't like the weather today, it'll change tomorrow. But that's okay too. But we have a full four seasons, and that is just so awesome, you know. And every season, folks, represents something to my life. I don't know if it does y'all or not, but it shows me that this spring, that God offers new life to anyone that seeks His salvation through His Son, Jesus. He offers that new life to us, and then we'll have summer, which is kind of a stressful time in a way because we fight the heat, and we have to keep the yard mowed, and we have to do the things we have to do, and it's kind of a stressful time, and that's my life because we go through a beginning of life when things are good, we're a kid. And then we move into a time that it's kind of stressful. And then we move into the fall, which represents the season that I'm in now, you know, of our overall life. And then we see the winter come. And as we see the winter come, it shows us that even though it looks like everything is dead, there's no life around, you have the Christmas tree, the cedar tree, you have the pine trees that represent life. The green, you see it all the time, all the time. And then you see this, even though it's winter and it's kind of like we're seeing the death of winter come over our year. Well, we see, folks, that even though we die, yet shall we live. And it is just so awesome to watch all of these seasons. And so I think about the Noah and this story. And we stop and we think about how God created the earth and how he placed us, everything, into motion. And everything had a meaning. Everything has a time and a season. And he tells us that in one of my most favorite scriptures in Ecclesiastes 3. He tells us that. And I love it. But he put everything into motion. And folks, I want you to stop this morning and just think about where we're at in our life and in our world. Because you're going to kind of see that where in Noah's time, the world had came to be almost exactly like it is right now. Almost exactly like it is right now. Except I hope there's more than one person left that still loves the Lord and has the strength to be redeemed if when he comes back, you know. Hopefully there'll be a whole church full of us that and churches around us that will know who the Lord is. But when he created the earth, folks, and he put it all in motion and things begin to happen, and what took place? Sin. Everything was happening. Everything was so good. Everything was so lovely. And they began to learn how to make money and to have things and to have the things that they wanted. But sin began to take over. And instead of them thinking about God and thinking about the one that had created them, they went to thinking about what can I do to have more and more and more. And what are we doing today, folks? We're thinking about what can we do to have more and more? What can we do to enjoy the world more? not to enjoy the Lord, but to enjoy the world more. And there's nothing wrong with enjoyment of this world. He gave it to us to enjoy. But we have to know and to understand. We have to love Him, and we have to be grounded in Him. It's something that you see very little of today, that people love God enough to give up something that they're enjoying, something that they love and something they're wanting to do all the time, to give up to be in God's presence. Mercy. It's just unreal how people are living in such a fast lane. So they got to this point and they were just living in the fast lane. They were enjoying life. They were enjoying the world, and they were just all messed up. And we're getting messed up more and more every day, folks. More and more every day. And so God says to Noah, build me a boat. Build me a boat. Now, if I started building a boat out in the middle of a bean field somewhere, a big old huge boat, y'all drive by and say, boy, that boy Wimberly, he's gone crazy. I mean, who in the world would be building a boat out here in the middle of this field? Well, that's what they said about Noah. You know, they all laughed at him. Everybody laughed at him. Nobody that was on board with him. So they ended up, God talked to Noah and he said, I'm going to destroy the earth. And so we see in verse 5, chapter 6, verse 5, and I'm just going to pretty much read through the end of the chapter. I think Brian said he had the scripture up there. We didn't talk about putting the scripture up there, but his mind was running alike this morning, and I told him, I said, I wish we'd have put it all up there. I got it up there, he said. I said, you're a good man. That's pretty cool, isn't it? When he's thinking like I am, thinking ahead for me, that's what he's doing. It tells us in starting with verse 5, it said, the Lord observed the extent of the human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. So the Lord was sorry he had ever made them and put them on the earth. It broke his heart. Folks, think about that today. It broke his heart. And the Lord said, I will wipe this human race I have created from the face of the earth. Yes, I will destroy every living thing. All the people, the large animals, the small animals that scurry along the ground, and even the birds of the sky. I am sorry I ever made them. But Noah found favor with the Lord. So this is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on earth at that time. And he walked in close fellowship with God. Noah was the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, I think so you said. Now God saw that the earth had become corrupt and was filled with violence. God observed all this corruption in the world, for everyone on earth was corrupt. So God said to Noah, I have decided to destroy all living creatures, for they have filled the earth with violence. Yes, I'll wipe them all out along with the earth. Build a large boat from cypress wood and waterproof it with tar inside and out. Then construct decks and stalls throughout its interior. Make the boat 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Leave an 18-inch opening below the roof all the way around the boat. Put the door on the side and build three decks inside the boat, lower, middle, and upper. Look, I'm about to cover the earth with a flood that will destroy every living thing that breathes. Everything on earth will die, but I will confirm my covenant with you. So enter the boat, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring a pair of every kind of animal, a male and a female, into the boat with you to keep them alive during the flood. Pairs of every kind of bird and every kind of animal and every kind of small animal that scurries along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. And be sure to take on board enough food for your family and for all the animals. So Noah did exactly as God had commanded him. This is the reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So we see, folks, that God told Noah, he said, go out here, begin to build you a boat. And he said, I'm going to destroy the earth. Folks, can you imagine at that time when Noah was the only one, the only person that God could find that loved him enough, that worshiped him, the only person? Everyone else deserved to die. Everything. I just, in my mind, when I stop and I think about that, I just think about us today. And I think about the world that we live in. And we've got a lot of people still. We're beginning to see these revivals break out, and we're seeing this all over the world, the things that God is doing and working, and people that are praising him and loving him and showing their love for him to others. We still got a lot of people, I believe, that truly love the Lord. But folks, we're at a point right now in this world where there's more, I think, a lot more people that don't even want to hear anything about the Lord. And so many of us Christians, we don't say anything about the Lord. We don't talk about the Lord. We don't give any kind of a testimony of anything he's done for us this past week. Has he done anything for you this past week? Oh, yeah, he has. He sure has. He has really, really blessed us. Last night, we was in a church meeting down at Brownsville on down that way, and I told them, I said, you know, we have been praying, folks. We've been praying for KK. KK has cancer. They told KK Thanksgiving that they can't do anything more for KK to come home and enjoy Thanksgiving, Christmas, and probably by the first of the year, if she was still living then, to count her blessings. Well, guess what? Everybody was praying for KK. She went back to the doctor the first of the year, and he said, I don't understand nothing about this, but this tumor has shrunk. And so he said, come back in February. And he said, we'll do another scan. We'll see what it's doing. Came back. He said, if it ever shrinks down to a certain point, I'm going to take it out. She come back this week, had another scan. It had shrunk enough. They're going to take it out. Amen. Amen. That's God, folks. I mean, that's God. And so we never tell anyone about the goodness of God. We just are quiet Christians. And that's the way we live our life. That's what was happening with these people. They did not believe God could do anything for them. They did not have any reason to worship him. They didn't have any reason to want to love God or to love on God or to be in his presence except Noah. And when God told Noah to load the boat, he had it built and he had it sealed, and he told him to load the boat, and the animals came two by two. Folks, that's God that brought the animals to the boat. I mean, you know, he didn't go out here and try to round all these animals up. You can't do nothing with a bunch of animals, but God brought these animals to the boat. And they loaded up. And one church sign down there at Buchanan says, and he had a lot of faith when he put them two termites in that boat. And I think that's probably the truth. I saw that on a church sign this week down here at Buchanan. But that's true. I probably said, Lord, we don't need them termites. We're going to leave them out of here. So we have to stop and we have to think about the faith that Noah had, folks, because he obeyed God right down to the very inch of how he built this boat. It could have been very easy for him to say, well, Lord, I'm going to cut it 5 feet short. That would save me a whole lot of work if I had 5 foot off of this boat this way or that way. But he built it exactly like God said because he knew to obey God. Folks, We don't understand to obey God. We'll obey God to a certain degree, but then we turn and we say, we want to do it Mike's way. I want to do it my way, Lord, and I don't see anything wrong with it. So I'm doing it your way, but I just want to do it this way. And so we do. But Noah, he built this boat right down to the nth of how God decided. He said, leave an 18-inch opening below the roof. He didn't say leave a foot opening. He didn't say leave 14 or 15 inches, 18 inches. And he done it. And so we see that Noah knew that he had to obey the Lord. And he did. So, folks, when the flood began, the water began to fall, and it began to want to begin to cover the earth, we see that all the living things that was left outside that boat were in trouble. You know, we watch floods all the time on TV. Hopefully we haven't been in any of us been in a flood. But we watch floods on TV, and we see this water coming, and we see the panic in these people's eyes, and we see that how disturbed they are. Can you imagine the panic that was on the earth at that given moment when this water started to rise and they realized they had nowhere to go and they had laughed at Noah, and Noah was the one that knew and understood what God had said. I can imagine the desperation it must have been. And we know that he destroyed all of these people and all of these animals because of sin. Because of sin. You see, Noah, these three boys, they went on to have lots of kids. They went on to have clans, they called them. And out of these clans came all the nations of the world. Tells us that, I think it's in chapter 9. But also in chapter 9, it talks about Noah getting drunk, and, you know, he wasn't perfect. He was not a perfect person. But it talks about, if you go ahead and read this story about Noah, it talks about his failures. He wasn't perfect. But he loved the Lord, and the Lord loved Noah. And out of this, him saving Noah, and the boys having these kids, comes what? Our Savior. Just think, folks, without Noah, and Noah's faith, how much of a difference, you know, the world would have been. When it's all said and done, folks, and they look at Mike or they look at Brian or they look at anybody, they're going to say, because of your faith, whoever you are, because of his faith, he taught us how to be strong in the Lord. He taught us how to love the Lord. He taught us how to believe in the Lord and how to obey the Lord. Is that what they're going to say? Or are they going to say, you know, that guy's faith didn't really amount to a whole lot, I don't think, because I never really saw him talk about the Lord. I didn't really see him do much about being faithful toward the Lord. Folks, we're having, Brian can testify to this. He can raise his hand. Yeah, there's people dying now that like never before. I don't know why they're dying like they are. I have no idea. I could not answer that question if I had to. But Brian and them's busier than they've ever been in their entire life. And it's just daily. The day is full. I know one day last week they had 3 or 4 funerals at one day. Can you imagine that? And that's not counting what McAvoy's is doing. And you know, that's just in our own little town right here. Our own little world that we live in. So folks, when it comes to faith, it comes to our life and the way that we live our life and the way that we make a difference in the life of another person. He just tells us, just like Noah, that if you don't love me, if you don't have no love for me, then there's coming a day when you're going to be in one of these days, and I don't know what day it will be, where they'll be having three funerals, and one of them will be yours. And in that day, when that comes, then God will not know you. He will not have a clue who you are. And so at that point, it will make a big difference in your life. I just see so much, folks, happening today that makes me wonder, what in the world are people thinking? It's all about the money. It's all about everything that's going on around them. And they do not include God in anything. I see it every day. And I can't grasp it. I can't figure out why in the world, knowing what they know, knowing what we're trying to tell them, that they would live their life like there is no God. Like it's only about them. You see it. I'm not the only one seeing this. You see it. If you're looking, you see it. A lot of times you'll talk to somebody, well, I don't want to talk about that, Mike. I just tune all that out. Well, that's fine. You don't talk about it. You just tune it all out and you live in your own little world. But at some point, you'll have to wake up to it. And when you do, will you be in the boat with Noah? Or will you be left behind? And that's what we have to stop and think about, folks. Hopefully today we'd have to build a boat all the way across the United States to put the believers in it if it came to that type of situation. It's not. He's coming back. And he's going to take the believers with him. And so when he comes back, it's going to be for real, folks, just like it was when the water started rising. When he comes back, are we going to be standing there saying, thank you, Lord, I've been waiting on you. Where have you been? Are we going to be saying, oh, I'm so scared. But it's going to happen. Salvation, folks, is offered to each and every one of us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Salvation is something that everyone needs. Not everyone will get. I hate to say that, but that's just the way it is. Everyone will not receive salvation from the Lord because they are too caught up in themselves, too selfish to ask forgiveness, too selfish to have what is offered to them free of charge. Folks, it is Communion Day. It's a time that it's the most wonderful time to me that we have each month, each Sunday, that we do communion. It's a time that we come closer to the Lord as we think about our communion Sunday, our time to break his body and to drink his blood. Oh, it just gives you chills when you think about how close that brings you to him. How he knew and he understood that those that loved him, those that really loved him, would look forward to this day that we break this bread and we dip this bread into this wine, the body broken and the blood given for us. Isn't that so? You can't love on Jesus like I can walk over and hug on Brian, put my arm around him, knuckle his head or whatever. You can't do that per se, but you can through this bread and through this blood love on Jesus. You can every day in prayer. You can every day in the way you live your life and the time you spend with him each day. Brian, if you would, come and help me. If you take the bread. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he told the disciples, that bread is tough, brother. break it off. But he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. He gave thanks to God as he broke that bread before he offered it to the disciples. And then he took the cup and he says, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people. He said, as often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. And he gave thanks to God for the cup as well. And folks, he offers this cup and this bread as his body and his blood to you and to me as well. If you have your communion with you, we can do the Lord's Prayer right now. Let us pray together, everyone. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And let us not temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Everybody got a cup? Anyone need one? You need one? Okay, got you. Pass that right down. If you would, I can't reach Richard. Yes.
Brian, let's partake together, church.
The body of Christ broken for you, and the blood of Christ shed for you. Brian, the body of Christ broken for you, and the blood of Christ shed for you. Amen, brother. And let us pray. Oh, Father, we thank you so much for your Son, Jesus. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming, being obedient to the Father, and dying upon that cross. But before you done that, you allowed us to have this meal with you that we can all reflect upon every day of our life. Father, we thank you so, so much. We ask now, Father, that you forgive each one of us of our sin, and we just give you so much praise for knowing that we needed a Savior. And Father, we just give you so much praise that you sent the one and only, your Son. We ask each and everything in Jesus' name. Amen.